We're going to go to the first chapter of James. And many of us have heard this subtopic many times. The 19th verse to the 27th verse. Shall we stand as we read the Word of God? Now, he's talking about me in this first verse. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perceives being no nor hearer, but forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled by God, the Father, this is the one who visits where? The orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You may be seated. So we want to talk a little bit about the blessings of the Word. And the first thing I want to talk about is the Word is so powerful that the Word is the very first thing you come in contact with that leads towards salvation. It's the very thing, because the person comes and begins to explain or tell you about Jesus. The Word of God contains everything concerning our Lord. Now understand that the Word of God in itself is not the instrument that God uses for salvation. It's a vehicle that God uses to point us to salvation, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus Christ, all of his attributes, his story about him being sacrificed on the cross is found in his word. When we read John 1:1, we find that Jesus was the word, that Jesus became flesh. He was the word that became flesh. And so that's very important for us to understand. But when I look in here, I find that there is a contradiction for some of us when it comes to the word. The conduct of the natural man is contrary to the word of God. It says here that be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Oftentimes, that's been my catalyst that's gotten me in so many problems. I know I'm speaking by myself here. I know you guys are perfect. No one's had this issue. But I'm talking as a Christian. I have been speaking out in anger, not hearing when the person is supposed to be speaking. And yet I think, in my own way of thinking, that I'm doing what God has told me to do. And God is not even telling me that's how I'm supposed to do. It says here now that I am not being a productive righteousness, producing the righteousness of God when I do that. I'm actually being unrighteous and unproductive when I'm doing those things. When we look at the context of what's going here in the text, James understood that the Jews, they were dispersed throughout the land. They, number one, did not adhere to what was supposed to do eventually, was to go out and make disciples. leave Judea, leave Jerusalem, leave and go to the uttermost parts of the land. And so they have to be dispersed to the uttermost parts of the land. In other words, they had to go beyond the walls, but something had to push them out because it was staying put. And so when they weren't out, they began to come across and be persecuted. They began to work lands. They began to, almost like sharecropping, but they would go and their bosses would begin to cheat them because they didn't like them, because they were Christians. They figured they could just treat them any kind of way. And so instead of just praying for their enemy, they had sometimes the response, the improper response of speaking their mind, of saying some things that really didn't need to be said. But when we do those things, even on our jobs, even in our to our neighbors, even to our family members, if we begin to do those things and they know we're Christians, they're going to hold us to a whole different standard. Am I right about it? They're going to look at you and say, are you supposed to be what? It's the first thing they're going to say. And what we want to do is we want to be slow to speak. When we have issues with our family members, when we have issues on our job, we have issues with our classmates, we want to be slow to speak because we don't want our conduct to be contrary to what the Word of God says we should be doing. We should be light unto the world, not darkness, because the spotlight is on us. And so it's so important for us to understand that we must be able and willing to conform ourselves to what God says. But this word that leads to salvation, well, if you thought about it, you'll say to yourself, if I am angry, if I'm speaking and speaking out of malice, or if I'm speaking without having clarity of thought, that must be an indication that my humility level isn't where it needs to be. And when the Word of God is going forth for a person to be saved, humility is something that must be there. Humility says that I must be able to come under the authority of something. I must be willing to lower who I say I am or who I think I am in order that I may be able to be spoken to and be ministered to. This is where God wants us to get to the place so the Word of God can do what is intended to do. The Word of God we just can't have a hard heart when the Word of God is going forth. We have to soften that heart and allow the Word of God to penetrate. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding according to the Word of God. That's the way he's going to do it. He guards it according to the Word of God. And so it's therefore put away all this filthiness. And then it says this, that you may receive with humility or meekness the implanted word which is able to save. Now, there's one thing that's key. It says the implanted word. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to something that's being implanted, that lets me know that something from the outside is going to be grafted on the inside. And when our physical body receives an organ implant, that physical body ordinarily wants to, help me out here, nurse, wants to reject that organ. Am I right? And so oftentimes our soul wants to reject that word of God that comes into us, but we have to receive that word as though that word is something that's being implanted in us. And we must treat it as though it's an implantation, and we must continually do this now, because when you have an implant, there has to be almost a lifelong of medication that has to go along with it to guard against rejection. And so a constant flow of medication is what we're going to need to guard against a rejection of that word. This is what makes this Word of God so powerful and so important. This implanted word is able to save, according to 1 Peter 22 and 23, it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. This word is not something that is going to ever perish. This word will be here forever. This word is the seed that God uses to get our attention. This word is the seed that God uses that we may get a glimpse as to who we are and what it is we to do. But be doers of the word and not hearers, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. I love looking in the mirror. Unfortunately, sometimes I miss what I thought I've seen in the mirror. The purpose of the mirror was for us to be able to look at something and see an imperfection and begin to make corrections to that imperfection. This mirror, and I can tell that when James wrote these words, he wasn't really talking about women per se, because women love their mirrors, let's face it. I've seen you women driving down the street looking in your mirror. You're putting your makeup on, you're doing all the things that you need to do. And many times, I tell you, when I was in the gym, Brother Ed, I used to look in the mirror all the time. I always saw an area of improvement. And every time you want to look in the mirror, the first thing you want to say to yourself is, I need to lose some weight, right? But how quickly we forget that we need to lose that weight when we go and get something to eat. This is what God is saying here. This is his likened to that. I completely forgot what I just saw. I have walked away that quickly and completely forgot. And so that mirror that God wants us to look into and peer, he said, he's going to tell us in the further scriptures, he says, I want you, when you look into that mirror, you look and find and see yourself, you go away and you forget what it looks like. He said, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what is he saying? He's saying now that I must look in the mirror that James is speaking of, the word of God, the perfect law. I must not look as though I'm looking in a regular mirror. I must go a little further than this one. I must peer into this thing. I must look intently into this word, because the word of God is actually a mirror. And every time I look in this mirror, I see more and more of my imperfections that I didn't have or thought I had the day before. And my objective then becomes that I must pay closely attention to what I just saw in this mirror. Because this mirror will reveal my imperfections, but it's so great and so powerful, it will also reveal the remedies to that perfection. It'll give me an opportunity to dress this thing up better and better and better. Because the last time I checked, I'm a groom of whose? I'm a bride of whose? As a church, we're a bride of Christ, right? Every husband here wants his bride to look her best, right? And she looks in that mirror and she makes sure everything is straight and everything is looking good. She looks great, and we says, you know what? This woman is awesome. That mirror helped out tremendously. Because if you go to a home and don't find a mirror, you're going to find some imperfections that were never dealt with. Well, that's how it is when we're in Christ and we don't peer into his word. Christ comes into our home, continually looks inside of us. He says, wait a minute. He said he wants to live for me. He said he wants to do for me. But I don't see any mirrors in here. How does he know what he looked like? How does he know if he's on the right track? He needs to look in that mirror. So how do I do that? I must be obedient. I must be obedient to the word. And why? Which is my second point. The obedience to the word of God transforms us from the inside out. That word, once it becomes implanted, because the key is, you notice it said implanted. That means it's going inside. That means it's going to start doing what it's supposed to do inside of me first. It's going to deal with this spirit man of mine. And that spirit man of mine is going to deal with that soul of mine. And that soul of mine is going to have, as Pastor said earlier, a choice as to whether or not he wants to conform to the image of that word. And so that inside of me is going to be changed initially. Before anyone get a chance to see, anyone get a chance to enjoy, for anyone get a chance to hear, it would have been taking place on the inside, that obedience to the word of God. Matthew 28, 20 says that we are to obey what was taught us. And so the word of God, we're learning from that. We obey what was taught us, and that obedience takes place, and we begin to start to get transformed from the inside out. And then we end up having to not, once we intently look inside that mirror, once we look deeply inside that word, now we want to be able to what? Meditate on it more. We want to do what Joshua says. We want to meditate on this word day and night. Because if I'm meditating on this word, there's a stronger possibility that I'm going to be more obedient to what it says I should do versus just treating it like it's a mirror and just glancing at it and walking off. I'm going to look at this word. It's going to get so much inside of me. There's going to be so much happening inside to where I'm going to want to conform to what it's saying. I'm going to want to know when I'm meditating daily that life that comes our way, that gets in the way, that I can just go and just stay in this word day and night. Am I there? No. Nowhere near it. But I'm striving to get there. I'm striving to get to a place where I can meditate on the word, be obedient to what it says I should do. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And the only way I can be blessed is I have to understand that the word of God is what's going to bless me. Some of us, we get caught up in thinking we want to just be blessed to have a car, a house. We want to bless with all those things that are tangible. But to be blessed to have the word of God inside of you and to be blessed to be able to exercise and do what that word of God says to do, we'll find that there's nothing like it. There's nothing, in fact, even come close to what that looks like and what that feels like. Amen. And so as we're looking for transformation, that person now is no longer the first person that was spoken of in 19. The person that's quick to speak, slow to hear, quick to anger. When a person is transformed, he no longer looks like that. When a person is transformed, that mirror is nothing that he glances at, that he forgets who he is. Now he's someone different now. His whole thing about him, he's having patience now. I can remember a time in my Christian walk where, I tell you, we had, it was a 35th birthday party for me. And it was a surprise birthday party. And when I say surprise, it was a surprise. Why? Because my wife surprised me greatly with this party. I had no idea what was going on. And when I got to this hotel, I kid you not, Dr. Ware, the biggest surprise was this. The biggest surprise was that I had people there. Now, you're seriously. That was the biggest surprise to me, was that I actually had people there. Now, to this day, I don't know if my wife paid them to come. She's not here to verify this story. But what I'm saying is, it's because of my previous actions of being one who was quick to be angry, quick to speak. I had no friends. I had no brethren who wanted to put up with me to want to do that. But thank God this was my 35th birthday and not my 25th birthday. Because that's the conclusion that I had to come to, was that the difference was the transformation that had taken place inside of me that allowed me to become one who has shown himself to be friendly, guarding the tongue now and not just blabbing it all out. And so that helped me tremendously. And I had a chance to see, okay, this is what transformation looks like. These folks actually love me. Oh my God, you know what? This stuff really worked. Conforming to your word, being obedient to your word actually works. But later I get to thinking, well, but how many people did I discourage from coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before I allowed the word to transform me? But yet calling myself a Christian, but yet acting contrary to the word of God. How many did I discourage? And so that almost put me on a quest to say, you know what? I can't make up for lost time, but from this day forward, I can be better than the day I was before. I don't know if that helped anyone, but that really, really helped me to see the difference, to see that people actually love you. Because my wife used to tell me, babe, she said, babe, people, they love you, you know, but I didn't realize she's talking about because we're Christians, but they don't like you. And to have that transformation, I would say that that would probably be, other than being conscientious of my sins and striving to live a life that understands that this may seem right to me, but the end can lead to my death, I would say that that transformation of being of one who was learning how to guard his tongue, I would say that that was one of the biggest attributes, one of the biggest markers in my Christian walk. So, if the Word of God leads to salvation, and that same Word of God, if I'm obedient to it, it allows for folks to see my transformation, which have taken place on the inside and is now protrude it to the outside. The thing I need to do now is I need to know that the Word of God affirms that God is a good God. The Word of God is my third point. Our lives, the way we live our lives, then affirms that the word to the world that God is good. That's what the Word of God does. It affirms that. And the reason why is because you have here, it says, if anyone, verse 26, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You mean to tell me, if that one was worthless, then it says religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so it's telling me, and then there's other religions. There's other religions, then there's other motivations. That means in our religious ways, we can be motivated by impure motives. We can be motivated because I want to love God. I want to do for God so that I can please God because I owe God. But we who are believers, we're motivated by love. God's love is so strong and so powerful, it tends to flow inside of us. Because the first thing we learned as believers is that God's love was so strong that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. He said, for whosoever perish would have everlasting life. And so that love that God has now becomes the love that I have. And so if my Lord and Savior can sacrifice his life on the cross, the least I can do is sacrifice part of me as well. The least I can do is love my God and love others. After all, that is the perfect law, that you would love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the other is like, is this one, that you would love who? Your neighbors as yourself. That is what we're trying to do. Here at Beyond the Walls, we're trying to emulate what the Word of God is telling us to do, because the Word itself blesses our very soul. And when we do those things, we get a chance to play a vital part in God's kingdom. We get a chance to express what the world does not know, the love of God. The world knows all other types of love, but it doesn't know the love of God. That's where we come in at. Our motivating factor for doing what we do, our motivating factor for coming here and worshiping God, our motivating factor for studying His Word, our motivating factor for coming together and leaving here and going into our connection groups is because what? We love. Amen? We love. And so when we say we love, Psalms 34:13 says that we then keep our tongues from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. That helps us tremendously as a body when there's tongues all around us who are not speaking evil and who are not speaking deceitful things, but speaking those things that are in love, because we live in a hurting world. But if we can show our love, we won't have to deal with all that pain the way the world does, because we have a collective family here that will be speaking words of encouragement and words of love to one of us. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. So it's saying here that there's a certain action that takes place. Now you remember it says, be ye what? Don't be hearers only of the word, but be doers of the word. That's the difference between having this, the blessings of the Word of God, realizing the blessings of the Word of God. The difference between the two is one who hears the word only, and that's it. But when we hear the word and do the word, then we begin to understand and realize and live out the blessings of the word. Amen? Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to go and love on our neighbors through acts of kindness. We want to be able to do those types of things, because we have other entities that are trying to do those things, Habitat for Humanity and other things, and those are great things that they have. But can you imagine what that looks like when the local body or the body of Christ begins to do those things, begins to go out and show that love throughout the community? Can you imagine the reaching effects that it would have in this very community that we have? That when this local body mobilizes and go beyond our walls and begin to show random acts of kindness, begin to do those things, begin to do random acts of kindness even in our homes, even in our neighbors, even in our schools, even on our job, far-reaching effect. There would be a whole different way of how the world sees us. 1 John then 3:17 and 18 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" How is it possible? So that means if I have some things, I have to be able to, if the Holy Spirit moves on me to share this, I'm going to have to share it. I'm going to have to do it. I just can't hold it to myself. It's something I must do. And so in my conclusion, we are blessed when we live according to the word. We are happy when we live according to the word. If you ever want to show the world how fortunate you are, I challenge you to live according to the word of God. If you want anyone to see how happy you are, not as relates to just, oh, I'm just so happy because I got this. No, I mean to a point to where no one can take this from you. I challenge you to live according to the word of God. And it begins when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Then you start loving your neighbor as yourself. You and I will be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. Thank you.